hungry, not sure exactly what you want to eat, but looking for really good local food that's unique and different, we found the place for you. Today, we talked to Wesley Harshorn, owner, co-owner of The Silos at downtown Dayton. Come on in and let's see if we can cook up something good for you to eat.
Welcome to the Dayton Approved Podcast with Frank O'Neill. This is where the local Dayton businesses get a spotlight.
All right, welcome to Dayton Approved, exploring Dayton small businesses and nonprofits with Dayton Discount Furniture. Today we have Wesley Harshorn with The Silos of Dayton. Is that right? Of Dayton? Is there a silo somewhere else?
The Silos Dayton.
Just the right Silos Dayton. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, oh, so I added the of Dayton.
You can.
Okay. Well, see, I'm already adding things. See how it is? We're adding things.
It's our nature. The basket to hold fruit just wasn't enough. Then we had to get a wagon. Right. Then we had to get a truck.
Right.
And it goes.
Exactly. Well, I am very, very happy you're here today, and I'm very excited to hear your story on how you got to, basically get in the silos. I mean, first off, just looking at that place and saying, I'm going to do this with that. I mean, that in itself is a special type of genius, in my opinion. But before we get to that, let's get to little parts of your mission statement. What it all, how you came about, I guess, starting that, and like basically what is, I guess you could really talk about, because some people may not even know, like what is the silos? So just let people know what that is.
Sure. So the silos themselves, they're 100-foot tall concrete grain silos that were built in 1925. So they were built to store grain.
Yeah.
And the B&O Railroad runs right through the property. And so the grain, the idea was to, basically hoard grain was the idea for these two people that built those 100 years ago. And when the price of grain shot up, they sold all their stock, all their holding. And there's an article in the Dayton Herald from 1925 that shows these guys' story. And they made $1 million and then went to Florida was really the story in the Dayton Herald. So the idea was kind of price fixing.
Yeah.
In a way.
That's funny. You sold for $1 million and went to Florida. I would argue like the American dream, but in reality, I think that's like the Ohio dream that I hear about,
That's funny because, imagine 1925 when most of Florida, I would imagine, was still very much swamp.
And right. But
there were these little pockets. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. That's when it started. Actually, the silos was the pioneer for Ohioans going to Florida.
It really is.
That basically was it.
That's the untold story.
That's the untold story in the Dayton Herald. It was May 25.
Exactly.
1925.
It was told, but we didn't really know what it meant. And here we are now.
Memories fade.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. So so that's a cool little background for the history of the silos and whatnot. But what about what it is now, like the dream and the vision that you created today?
Yeah, so we live in a world where things just really aren't quite what they are anymore.
Right.
So the grain silos and the land itself was always a part of industrial America, right? Like I said, it was right by the B&O Railroad. That B&O Railroad was actually the Erie Miami Canal Railroad or some version of that. And it used to take whiskey and ice and different supplies from Cincinnati to Toledo. So then the connection for Dayton was built in 1860. Right.
Yeah.
So around that time is when that property began to be used as a storage place.
Yeah.
And primarily that was its purpose. It was a stop off. It was a picking things up and dropping things off.
Yeah.
On the way from Cincinnati to Toledo.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it largely was that for 150 years.
Yeah.
And I saw that. I knew that. I saw that not only in the place itself, but the ground was very much just gravel and asphalt. And,
right.
Knowing the scale of what we were getting into was something I've never done and quite frankly, that's the world I like to live in. Is,
yeah.
Oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, how am I going to turn this thing into gold?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah. For everyone, really, you know, for the earth is kind of where it all began, taking out tons and tons of asphalt and gravel.
Rock and all,
yeah,
that.
All that. And replacing it with compost and soil that I got from a local farmer in Moraine. So it's largely horse poop.
Yeah.
You know, horse poop and dirt and other compost materials. It,
yeah.
You know, it probably, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of manure, pounds of manure.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would do. You built yes. it out of shit.
Yes. Yes. That's the secret in life, actually, yeah. is you know, people, you might go around looking for nice things in your life,
right.
but quite frankly, the nice things in life come from the shit that you bring in and,
yeah.
and can process.
It's really true. That really is true.
I do believe that, actually. I mean, I started buying abandoned houses in Dayton 15
yeah.
years ago, and there was something about it being able to take something that was largely neglected.
Wow, look
and
at this.
There you go. You're doing a little acrobatics over there.
Oh, my goodness.
That's some good energy.
That is.
So, taking
no,
something...
No, what happens, what I say about this is, what's going on is we're talking about something that's too real, and the forces are trying to screw with us.
Good.
You know what I'm saying?
Good.
You ever
I mean,
that?
You know. Yes.
Yes, because that was very not normal. I've never
I
had
love
that happen.
It. Great.
30 episodes, and I've never had the microphone just randomly.
Mic drop. That's a new.
Yeah, mic drop.
That was a
exactly,
mic drop.
Exactly. Sorry, but yes.
But yeah, so just taking something that, I guess the saying is like, some people look for nice places and other people make places nice.
Yeah.
Is one way to put it. And so
yeah.
I've always kind of lived my life that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting about all that is, what I've always kind of realized is like, okay, yeah, you can go and have a beer and hang out and have a good time with anyone, but you really don't get to know someone until like when shit hits the fan. It's like when a problem happens, okay, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And that's when it gets real, right? It's like something bad happened. I don't know. It could be an argument. It could be anything.
Anything,
that's
yeah.
when you really get to know who that person is. And I love it. I love knowing. I love being in those situations because that's when people get a chance to either – it's the opportunity point, right, where they can either shine and show who they really are or they can just shine and show who they really are.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of interesting.
And it's a process too.
But, you know, like you said, like, you know, we turn it into gold essentially is what it is. And that's all we do in life or – you know, whatever. Lemon and lemonade is the, I guess,
it's another way
PC
to say
way
it.
Of saying it. But
yeah, it's another way to say the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would definitely argue that you turned this thing into gold or lemonade. So, yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful place. I've been there. But yeah, I mean, you know, essentially, you turned it into a, like you were saying, it's a kind of like a food hall now.
Yes, it's a food hall. That's
yes.
that's one way to look at it. That's
yeah.
Designation of you know, taxation.
Right. But what is it for you, really?
Oh, it's a place to basically take the earth and make it fertile.
Yeah.
Really is a big part of it. Like I said, when we first got the place, it was an acre and a half of downtown Dayton.
Right.
And I thought, you know, that this is an opportunity that just isn't going to come around
right.
to own that size of land in downtown.
Of course.
Wherever, right?
Yeah.
And then to see its quality of earth, you know, is very poor. So
yeah.
That, for me, is really a big part of what I'm after, is to make the ground fertile.
Yeah.
And then everything above that is kind of...
Just surface level.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's up to other people.
Yeah.
It, you know, I can't control hundreds or thousands of people that come through there.
Right.
All I can do is be able to try to make a beautiful place.
Right.
And for me, that grows out of the earth, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like yeah. how we both came out of the earth.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't come
it's
into
true.
This world. We came
no,
out of it.
It's true. That is very true.
And to it will return. So
yeah, yeah. Well, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's
yeah.
a real. That's a real ordeal. Nobody gets to live forever. Is
Thank
what
you,
I would
Mom
say.
And Dad. You know,
yeah,
they brought us in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, they had a good time, and bam, here we are. What's interesting too, I've been seeing this thing floating around on Facebook. It's like with the fingerprint and the tree. I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
But basically, it's like taking your fingerprint and like it shows like half a fingerprint, and then it takes a tree and it shows it cut, and then it takes in half, and it's like we're all really just part of the earth. Like, look how close and similar your fingerprint is to the rings of a tree.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. It's got floating around.
That's neat.
Yeah, and you really think about it, it's like we really are the same.
And then are any slice of a tree's ring the same, right?
No.
Probably
just
not.
Just like fingerprint.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And then the snowflake, right? There's all these
metaphors
for the uniqueness of everyone. And then I think in that comes the genius that we are all one.
Yes.
How could it not be?
Of course.
If we're all very much separate, then we're all very much one.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. We're all...
You can't have one without the other.
Exactly. It's the day and the night and the good and
all
the bad.
All that.
Yeah. And the happy and the sad. Because if you don't have it, then therefore the other doesn't exist.
Relative reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's really, really interesting how, you know, the old yin and the yang. I would completely agree with you on that.
Thousands of years old, this idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one of the first questions we asked as humans was, what happens after we die? And we are still trying to solve it.
We never will. I mean, it's buried.
Until it happens.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We'll never be able to fly.
Yeah.
Drive cars. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So wild.
So, basically, yeah, I mean, it's a food hall.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I mean, I know that, you know, you're promoting like the realness of what your business is, but you know, as far as like the business aspect, as far as, you know, profitability and like, you know, us, you know, you existing in that general realm of reality, I guess you could say, why people would visit the silos is because basically they're hungry and they want to have a good time and it's entertainment, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going into that part.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, quite frankly, my wife and I, Kathleen, and then Shannon Thomas, the other owner of the silos, you know, we all had visited different food halls in different parts of America.
Yeah.
And one consistent theme we saw was the open space, the variety of seating, the eclectic pieces.
Right.
So for us, how we achieved that was to be able to make, you know, basically it's an acre and a half of land, and we took about half of that, and it's all just open. There's no parking on that area.
Yeah.
And all the seating is found on Facebook Marketplace. The Indian gazebos in the landscape are hand carved from India.
Yeah.
They were shipped over, hundreds of pieces. We built them on site. The shipping containers are, you know, bought from a customer that backed out on a deal. You know, we bought those. Everything that we had acquired
was bought on
was
the cheap.
Basically just like, hey, what are you doing with that?
Yeah. We could use this.
We could use this.
Yeah.
And I think when people come there, they actually see that and they're like, wow, this actually kind of works.
Yeah.
You know, it's like going to maybe your aunt or your grandma's house or your mom's house.
Yeah.
And there's just kind of stuff everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, well, it kind of works. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think the other cool thing is, like, you actually have stuff that is, I don't know how you say it. Like, I wouldn't say, like, vintage or old-fashioned, but I guess you could say more real or authentic, more craftsmanship to it. You know, I think that's the thing a lot of people, you know, I sell new furniture. You know, that's what I do. But, like, let's be real. There's no craftsmanship there. It's all the same stuff over and over again. Same kit.
Very comfortable, by the way.
Different fabric. Yes, of course, of course. But it's the same type of kits. I tell people, it's like, you remember when you were kids and you could make a model car, and then they have, like, Snap-on model cars?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Snap-on model cars. Like, it's all kits. Like.
Yeah.
But there's something cool about an actual model car where each little piece and each little detail, putting it together, really makes something special.
It's like, yes, it has a certain feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what the silos feels like to me. At least when I walked in, I was like, it's almost like a sensory overload. Like, wow, look at this, look at this, look at that. And almost every little corner was thought about. You know, like
that's very true. Yeah, there was never. Yeah,
I don't know if that's what you're going for, but that's that is what I got hit with.
Yeah, you nailed it. We wanted sensory overload, and part of that is the plants. There's over 200 plants in the building itself, along with hundreds outside.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, all the interesting little corners. Everything was definitely thought about. Even that broom that's kind of over in the corner. Yeah. Because actually that was part of the vision, is that we would not have anything that is operational, meaning like no brooms, no paper towels, nothing that is operational would ever be visible.
Yeah.
It's kind of the approach. It's kind of like this Disney World approach.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where you hide the functionality of the wires, you know, you hide all that. But, you know, it's impossible, but that was kind of I always like to lead with ideas that are impossible.
Right. And then prove it wrong, or prove that it really is impossible.
Or just
type of deal.
Settle for reality, which is somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we're all doing anyway.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, no, you nailed it. Like, that definitely was part of the vision, is to see each corner, each place, each, and overload it.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's good. And then even with the food choices, too. I mean, they're all, in my opinion, filled with powerful punches. You know what I mean? Like, they're all heroes in their own way. You know, like, they all, you're not going there to get your generic, you know, fast food court at the mall type of deal. It's like, I feel like I got a choices of actual good quality, a lot of it local grown food.
Yeah, I can actually touch on that, because that's a great point, is the four restaurants inside the food hall. I mean, Chef Dane, he is a legend in Dayton and makes great food.
Yeah.
He has a restaurant in the Oregon district called Culture, and then the Nude Bar at the Silos, which is an Asian-inspired noodle bar, and he has bao buns. And then you have Kung Fu Barbecue.
Yeah.
Those guys started in a driveway during the pandemic. They did pop-up supper club kind of approaches, just like telling people, hey, we're going to be here at 6 o'clock, be there. And then hundreds of people showed up.
Wow.
And so now they're in the Silos and they smoke their meat on site. And they're just really committed, and just a, you know, a lot of what Dayton is about, which is hard work and commitment to the thing that you're after, which is the case all across America.
Right, right.
And then you have the Burger Bistro by CC's Kitchen. She had just started this food truck that was serving burgers, and we had met her just around that time, and we said, well, would you want to come to the Silos? And she was stoked, and overall her energy to be involved was a big part of it. But not, of course, she has excellent food, it's delicious. People love her food. And then Indigo is the restaurant that offers, you know, a gluten-free, vegan kind of approach, right?
It's right.
Something that we didn't see in other food halls was this restaurant that offered, you know, salads and grain bowls and burritos that were, you know, and she does smoothies now. So those are the four restaurants inside, and then we as the Silos run the bar in the middle.
Yes, yes.
Which is anything you would want, you know, wine imported from Austria, Italy, Germany. No additives, made by families that have been making this wine for hundreds of years. The people we buy the wine from actually go to, you know, the farms and talk with the farmers, the makers of the wine. And, you know, so it's a very intimate relationship with our wine program. And then, of course, the mixed drinks, the liquor, the alcohol. That's, you know, we have three different liquors all made in the greater Dayton area. Of course, Bella Dayton,
right?
We get vodka and Habanero Joe spiced rum. And then in Middletown, there is a distillery called Name Brandt, and we get our tequila from them. So it's cool that our liquor program has these local distilleries. And then our tap wall has 16 taps of all beer and kombucha and ginger beer made in Ohio.
Wow. I need to try that ginger beer.
Yeah, it's by Warped Wing.
Yeah, okay.
People love it. So having that, kind of going back to what I was saying about, you know, working in the earth and having something to do with building the actual place
yeah.
is the similar approach with the tap wall, where it's all local.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a glimpse inside of the food hall.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like I was saying, it's all, you know, as you described as well, it's all unique. It's all different. It's all, you're not going to find that anywhere else. You're not going to find a food hall like that anywhere else.
No, and we hear that often.
Yeah.
People are.
Now, I was just thinking, it kind of came to me. So I was wondering, with the earth and everything, do you guys have like a composite, what do they call those, like composite piles, where you just like dump the food somewhere outside and then you just kind of let it turn into soil?
We don't.
Well, there you go.
Not yet.
Oh, there you go.
I know. It's all like the amount, or what am I trying to say? Basically, everything in life is process.
Right.
From the moment you wake up and on it goes. And so we just haven't developed that system, that process. I know, it's so obvious. And it's like, no.
You know that everyone would be into it.
Yeah.
They would.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of, you know, eggshells, right?
Yeah.
How, you know, it's all right there.
Yeah, I mean, you can almost do two different trash cans, one that's like trash and the other's like...
Absolutely.
Organic, and then boom, they got it, and then you just...
Yeah, it goes in a pile.
Yeah.
We do have a pile. It just isn't food related. It's
right.
Horse manure and topsoil. Yeah. Imagine that.
Right. Well, it's not just... food that's, you know, knock your socks off food that's there. You also have entertainment and games.
Yeah, I mean, part of our, you know, every business has its slogan, and so ours is eat, drink, play.
Yes.
So the eat, drink was obviously the foundation. The play part is still evolving. Right now we have feather bowling,
yeah,
which was created by a Dayton local. The courts were built by Matt Vreiser, and you know, I helped shovel rocks and do different things here and there, but he was primarily the lead and still is. He had found out about feather bowling in Detroit.
Okay.
And learned about the game. It's from Belgium. It involves rolling a cheese wheel on a court towards a feather. And he built these cheese wheels. They're actually made out of maple trees.
Yeah.
And he lathed them down. He carved them. He spent hundreds of hours, I would imagine, making 22 game balls. And it's similar to bocce or curling, in mm-hmm. which you have two teams competing, and you're getting the cheese wheel closest to the feather.
Yeah.
So you try to block it, and then you try to ram it out of the way, and you know the court's concave, so you can play the curve. And right now, Sportschule is doing feather bowling leagues.
Yes.
So, yeah, Sportschule is a local good times club.
Yes,
anybody
sir.
Can join. It's a good time. Been around for at least 10,
yep,
12 years.
Yep, 2015 now.
Yeah, 10
so
years.
So they're about to have their 10-year, or whatever you want to call it.
Anniversary,
we'll say. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's one. I mean, it's really incredible how it all came together. So feather bowling, you can sign up online on the website that we'll post later because it's not in my mind.
Yeah.
but yeah, the courts are available to rent and you can request them online. And then we have good old fashioned cornhole.
Yes.
Come on
yes.
down to the silos and play some cornhole.
That's right. Yes, yes.
Which, you know, sometimes, I'll just say, the kids, man, sometimes they get out there and they play cornhole the way it's not supposed to be played.
Yeah.
And
that's
like, no, kids.
Are you talking about like young kids? Or
yes,
are you talking
the ones that I, you know, I have a 7-year-old daughter.
Yeah, it's kind of
like that. It's like, no, that's not how it's played.
Right.
So I only say that because, you know, we do want to create an environment where, you know, adults can come and play and enjoy, you know. And so that's really kind of what we're after and what we'll continue to evolve into.
Yeah, I did get that adult feeling or that adult vibe, but I also got that, like, hey, if you got kids, you can bring them too.
Yeah, I know. And definitely that is a core part of what we began as.
Yeah.
You know, it was wanting to be a place where families can come to downtown Dayton and spend time. And we are definitely seeing it, and it's incredible. So, you know, Eudora is another spot that I think has done a really good job of that. You know, and we offer, you know, a similar kind of vibe.
Yeah.
The kids love the AstroTurf.
Yeah.
They love the AstroTurf, yeah. So I think that's cool because, you know, that's why we put it there. It's for people to play on. So,
but what's interesting is like, you know, you're saying like with the earth and everything. So I would imagine you had to put that AstroTurf there because that's probably where there's a lot of rock.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We hauled out. You know, I dug down almost a foot. So everything that you're standing on there, it was all raised up about 6 to 8 inches.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's wild the amount of earth that was moved, you know. And it took about a year to move it all.
Yeah, I remember. Remember when I first saw it starting going or whatnot. Remember when you got the silos painted? Yeah, it was like one of the first things you probably had done.
Yeah, because we wanted to basically show the public that it's for them, like art.
Yeah.
This place is for everyone. Yeah. And so Erica Arntz, a really talented artist who I think has been on your show.
Yes, she has.
She's a wonderful person, just really committed. And she would always say, I mean, not always, but she said a few times, and it always stuck with me, is some way, somehow, I will. That was like her thing. She would just say that. And she did. She was out there in November, and it was like 20-something degrees, and she was just waiting for it to warm up above freezing in her car.
Yeah.
And then she'd go up there and just
get it done.
Freeze and paint. She really has that committed kind of rugged approach to life, which I really appreciate in people.
Yes.
So she painted the cacti.
Yeah.
And it was like, why cacti? And, you know, just why not? You know,
yeah.
An obvious first approach, but really it's like, I just think that putting things in an environment like cacti in the Midwest just makes no sense. And I figured, well, yeah, that's...
No, it's good. It gets your attention.
Yeah, it gets your attention. Yeah, it just, we get away with thinking things make sense when really they don't. If you really approach it from an analytical, just like we are human beings here on a journey.
Exactly. I had a friend call me this week. They were driving down on vacation, and they said, "Hey, I just passed a furniture store, and I thought the name was great." I was like, "What was it?" And they said it was called Brown Squirrel Furniture. I said, "I don't know why, but I love it."
Not gray squirrel.
Exactly. No. Exactly. Brown squirrel.
Brown squirrel.
Brown squirrel furniture. I said, you know, there's a lot of furniture places out there, and I guess you just got to start making things up.
Oh, my gosh. It's a native species to that part of the world.
Exactly.
The country, yes.
Speaking of squirrels, I don't know. Have you ever seen black squirrels?
Albino, of course, come to mind.
Yeah.
Black squirrels?
Up in...
Tell me. Probably up north, yeah?
Yeah. So up north, I went to a Ohio State, Michigan State game. It's the first time I ever saw them. And they have, like, fancy tails. And I'm like, what is this? This is crazy. And they're like, oh, that's just, you know, the squirrels. I'm like, no. Those are fancy-looking black squirrels. Like, I've never seen this in my life. They're like, yeah, they're native around here.
And then they sprayed me. And it's like, oh, it smells like a skunk. No, it's a black squirrel.
Exactly.
Dude, that's a skunk.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. It was a real.
No, I hear you. Yeah, real. It was a real black squirrel.
You look hilarious. Google it. You gotta look it up. You'll see them.
Oh well.
It's interesting to see them in nature too. So.
Wow.
But yeah, I just something that just kind of caught my attention.
That's funny. Right here in Ohio, black squirrels, black, albino, gray.
I thought about capturing some. And being the guy that we go down in history that brought the black squirrels to Dayton, you know,
it's kind of
like
seen them.
I remember in college there was I can't remember the guy's name, but apparently when he came to Florida, came over from wherever it was, he brought like a lizard, and the reason you see all those damn lizards over in Florida is because of his ass.
This guy, yeah.
And it was like. It's an invasive species.
Yeah. Just wanted it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just wanted it. Didn't see the grand scale of what can happen.
All right, well, let's... we kind of went a little bit backwards and got really deep into, you know, the mission statement. Let's talk more about your story, though. Let's talk about, you know, how you started where you first got the, I guess you could say, entrepreneurial bug, or when you were like, hey, you know what? I'm going to do this thing for myself type of deal. So, yeah, just give us a quick rundown of, like...
Sure.
you know, how it all started.
Well, my dad taught me how to swing a hammer.
Yeah.
And I was dumb enough to listen.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I like to look at it. He actually works at the silos now. It's really kind of a full circle thing.
Yeah. And,
you know, I grew up on a farm, and I was working from the time I was 10 years old. And he would get these We Buy Houses kind of videos and learn about that stuff. So I was 12, 13, 14 seeing this stuff. And even then, I kind of thought it was a funny thing as a gimmick. I'm like, man, if you're able to sit here and watch this, aren't thousands of other people doing it too? So you can't be that inside. So I've always just had this instinct to just go into the tiny corners of the world and find, I guess you'd say, opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so living in Dayton in 2009 and 2010, I found out about a program called Lot Links. And I found out about it on YouTube from our mayor at the time, Gary Leitzel. The video had 21 views.
Oh.
So I was the 22nd viewer. And I thought, well, I mean, if there's only 22 people seeing this, then maybe it's
an opportunity.
Now's the time. And so I looked into it. I learned about it. And I applied for 25 properties. And I got them. And I took 15 years of my life to renovate them.
Right.
And, you know, they would come cascaded over the course of about 10 to 12 years. And, you know, I would do two the first year and then three, and then on it went, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of like the vision. I've always, I don't know always, but I guess ever since I was probably a teenager, I've really enjoyed being able to think of projects and then do them and complete them. And part of that comes from taking on too many projects and not completing some, right?
Right.
So I really got a good feel of what I could accomplish and what made me happy, and then what I just was doing just to prove a point and didn't actually make me happy.
Right, right.
So that really is part of what doing the silos was, is something that was going to fulfill me in a happiness level.
Yeah.
To be able to do things that seem hard, but do it with joy.
Yeah.
And, you know, renovating 25 houses in 15 years, I went through the whole cycle of, you know, really achievement oriented when I began, and very ego oriented and self-serving. And I went through all of that, and I realized I was very unhappy.
Yeah.
I had achieved my goal to some extent.
Yeah.
But I wasn't happy, and I knew I needed to change.
Right.
And so I decided that I needed to have more boundaries about how I was going to approach my work day.
Yeah.
And how I was going to approach the individual projects within the big one.
Yes.
And so that was really, part of it was getting real with the management of my time and my life, and really seeing the things that made me happy and being able to lean into that stuff more, and then have the money eventually to pay people to do the things that I wasn't so jazzed about.
Yeah, or, you know, you're good at, or whatever.
Yeah.
It is, you know?
Right. Yeah, because if I wasn't good at something and I did it anyway, and then it just, it left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
Somebody could do it better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's the power of entrepreneurship, right? It's being able to know when, hey, I gotta let this part go. Gotta let someone else handle it, because, you know, I'm not the best fit for
I'm
that.
I'm not the best for it.
But
yeah.
I can spend my time and energy better over here.
And like, that's found a person who was better at tiling showers than I was.
Yeah.
And on it went.
Yeah.
I've always loved the foundational things of renovating. So digging and laying new wire and laying new plumbing lines and foundations and things like that, I always really enjoyed. Because the big machines are coming out. It's just, everything looks absolutely insane also.
Yeah. It's like straight chaos. Like, it really is.
I'm like, what in the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it too, is I'll put myself in those situations where I'm like, what am I doing?
Right.
I feel like such a loser. And that really was a big part of my journey in doing the silos. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm never going to finish this.
Yeah.
It was really, yeah, I went through that.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I mean, everyone does go through that type of stuff, so.
And I was in a tremendous amount of debt, and still am.
Yeah, of course, of course.
But that was part of the plan.
It's, of course,
still
yeah.
is, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's been, every time I've gone, it's been successful.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember I went on a Tuesday, and I was like, it's not going to be that busy. I mean, it was slammed on a Tuesday.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would argue it's a huge success.
Yeah, and I think that when you create something like that, your attention is needed even more to be able to see the things that need adapted.
Yes.
Yeah, adapting to reality is something that I really enjoy. It's so easy to say that this is it.
Yeah, it's not it. No, it's always never ending.
Always evolving, that's right. Yeah. And so to stay with that is something I really enjoy. If you just look at a field of corn, you never actually see the corn grow or anything from the earth. You never actually see it grow.
No,
it's just the time-lapse videos.
Correct, but like it just happens.
So consistent. I love that part of nature that we are. We're so consistent.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that. That's where the patience factor comes into play. It's like, I know I did everything right. I know I planted the seed. I know I watered it. I know that, you know, the sun's is in a good spot. Why isn't it growing? Why isn't it growing? Why isn't it growing? And then all of a sudden, boom, it just blows up.
So you learn to deal with that voice of when, why, where, what, how, all that. Just
oh, sure. Process, there is definitely doubt. That's the time frame where you hear that other voice where it's like, you suck, you failure,
I think
whatever it is, you know.
The more I go, the more I welcomed that voice in, because I think that we live in a world where it's like, you know, focus on positive, you know, and that really isn't the answer for me.
Yeah.
It's really like, oh, negativity and doubt, come in. You have a place here.
Yes.
And I'll put you somewhere in my life. Yeah. Because you serve the purpose of the other.
Right.
And so being able to see things in that way has increased my joy in life tremendously.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, people talk about seasonal depression. I don't understand it. Doesn't make sense to me.
I used to think that too, but I have experienced it. It's real.
The seasonal depression?
Yeah, yeah,
I do understand it, I guess, but I just, it does, yeah. Yeah. I'm just at a point in my life where the negativity and depression are just, they're very welcome. They're nutrients.
Right. You just want to feel the shadow. Everything.
Yeah.
Like, just give it to me. Don't, you know, don't hide it. Don't, don't mask it. Just let's just deal with it and move forward.
Let's get on. Gone.
Yeah. It's a little brief background of myself. I was actually learning disability. And I had to go to the trailer when I was a kid.
Oh, my literally, gosh. Yeah, if we see the kid going to the trailer,
exactly.
We're like, oh, that's Frank. Yeah.
Exactly. And
he's dumb.
Exactly. And they never told the other kids what was going on in the trailer. Why is he going and walking across the field to go to the trailer? Like, what's happening over there? And it's just so interesting how it's just like, we're just going to do it, you know, and not explain it. And, you know, I can't imagine that happening in today's world. I feel like everyone would be like,
he's going to the learning trailer.
Exactly. Like, you know, hypersensitive about it. Like, we got to be nice to him. Like, whatever. Like, none of that. Nothing, right? It's just, what's going on over there?
My God. I'm so glad you told me that.
Yeah, yeah,
I love that.
So, I was told, like, hey, you probably won't get through high school, maybe. You're never going to go to college. Like, you know, you're whatever.
You're dumb, Frank.
Basically. And I was just like, screw you guys. And I use that as my motivation, right, to really excel and do, to prove people wrong. It was that chip on the shoulder. That was my fuel. And it got me very far in life. Like, here I am now.
But
over the last couple of years, though, I've kind of like, where I've hit that plateau where it's like, okay, I've made money. I've made a lot of friends. I'm clearly not, you know, an idiot.
By the standards of what you set Idiocracy to be.
Right.
I think that's part of the thing.
Sure, exactly. True. That's true.
The school system
has
such a primary view of the head. But your intelligence.
Yes. So there's two things about school that we can go briefly into.
Sure.
We got plenty of time. So, number one with school, I would say, is they don't cater to anything other than the person that can memorize shit. So, like, if you have the ability of short-term cram whatever, read something quickly, and memorize it, you will pass school.
Recall.
Yeah. That is the only thing it really teaches. Let's be completely honest with it. True intelligence is like talking to someone and then they can recall something 20 years later and like actually like be pretty dead on. That's true intelligence, in my opinion. How many times have I read a book in school or, you know, got the Cliff Notes or whatever it is, and I got jammed down my throat, and then I took the
memorize
test.
Memorize what you could.
Yes, and then I got an A on the test, and then I never, ever remembered it again. That's all school does. I mean, if you think about it, it's crazy. And number two, they do use, the other big thing is, it's a scientific approach. Which is cool, because science is real. But what about all the other stuff, like spirituality? And I'm not talking about like, hey, I got to go to, you know, a Catholic or a private school about religion. I'm talking about actual, genuine spirituality.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's more to just science out there.
Yeah, the way I understand it, there's a hypothesis, the testing, and yes, the result.
It's right.
Basically how I understand the scientific approach.
Right.
And then spirituality is that voice within.
Yes.
Everybody, I think, has had at least a moment,
yes,
of deja vu, or, man, you just read my mind, or something.
Yeah.
So that's how I understand spirituality. You can hypothesize and you can test it, mm-hmm, but the result, you can't really measure it.
It's
kind of part of
spirituality. You can't repeat it on demand.
Yeah, there you go.
Science,
you can't repeat it. That's right. There's no lab.
Yeah.
I mean, we are the lab.
Yeah.
We're the specimen and the space.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the time cycle over and over again.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Where science, you always need the observer.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the difference, right?
Yeah.
Science needs the observer, which is why you have to repeat on a command. Spirituality, you are.
We are the observer.
You are.
The observer
so
is
how
the
do you?
Observer.
It's impossible
yeah.
to. It'll
separate.
Be impossible to.
Yeah.
Well, it's impossible to prove it.
Yeah.
It will always be.
So
it's designed that way.
So I understand what I hear you saying is that maybe your life, maybe your thing in life is to be able to keep traveling down that spiritual road.
Sure. And I think it's the expansion of spiritual road, or I had more of an understanding in general than I did, I guess you could say, with the scientific approach. Like, I get the scientific approach. I mean, I understand that. But, like, I'm more like, I would say I start my journey on the spiritual way. And then, like, I was like, oh, you got to do this. So I did it the scientific way, and, like, look where it got me.
Yeah. Yeah, you integrate.
Graduated in 2009 from Ohio State with a finance degree, and, you know, it was the worst crisis, financial market crisis ever. Like, I did everything I was supposed to do. In fact, I was told I wasn't going to be successful. And this is what you gave me?
Yeah.
And I said, screw you, screw everyone, I'm doing me. I'm done listening to everyone else. And I started my own journey.
Was that when Dayton Discount Furniture started? Some sort of version of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I learned the furniture business. My journey is, I graduated, couldn't find a job, and then I went to Savannah, Georgia, and I literally just met a guy selling mattresses out of a garage, and we became friends. I said, "Wow, this is really cool," and he's like, "What brought you here?" And I was like, well, I had another buddy that I met at Wright State where I started my college journey. And he said, if you can't find a job by the end of the summer, I'm dragging you to Savannah, Georgia. He goes, I'm deploying for 6 months to Afghanistan. I got a two-week gap, and I'm going back to Iraq.
And you could stay at his house.
And I could stay at the apartment. We got a two-bedroom apartment because the military paid for it.
Yeah.
And I could watch his stuff.
Yeah,
he
that's
had
right.
And then he would have a place for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's quite convenient.
And then I paid 50% rent, so he actually made money on the deal.
There you go.
So it worked out great for him.
Yeah, you had responsibility in the whole game. You weren't just given. Yeah.
No.
You had to fork over some.
Yeah. So I moved down there, and I was like, let's do this, and I did it. Didn't know a soul. He left like a week after, and of course I needed a mattress. And
how'd you find it? Was it Craigslist?
Yeah, I know. Straight up Craigslist. Yeah.
When I lived in L.A., Craigslist was like the thing.
Yeah. It was Craigslist.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And he's like, what's your story? And I told him. He was like, you gotta be kidding me. He goes, I love that, man. I love that. He goes, hey, you want to have a beer? We'll have a beer. You know, I go on the weekends. We have friends. You know, we meet up or whatever. I'm like, absolutely. I don't know anyone. So Friday comes around and I call him. And I'm like, he's like, hello? I was like, yeah, this is Frank. He's like, Frank who? I'm like, I bought a mattress from you. And you told me to give you a call. And he goes, oh, yeah. Come over to my house. So I show up at his house. And let's just... long story short, we hit it off.
You guys became friends. I think that's wonderful. Like, you were available, is what I hear.
Yes.
Yeah, you were available.
There's something key about that, being available.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes people aren't available.
Yeah. I mean, you know? not, you know, you flip the sign.
Yeah.
Closed.
Yeah, exactly.
Closed.
Right.
I do love to see that on people's faces and see, are you really closed? Or you just... I just like to see what, you know.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of people are in this, like, in-between. I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah.
They're not available, but they pretend to be available.
Yeah, that's the learned behavior of the survival of the ego.
Yeah.
Is the way I understand it.
Yeah.
The survival of the ego. Yeah, absolutely.
You think so? Survival of the ego?
Yeah, I mean, just the way that you think you are, you go around presenting that.
Yeah.
And you look for feedback which supports that idea.
Right.
And whenever you get feedback that doesn't support that idea, you know.
Yeah.
So it's easier just to kind of stay in the lane. And then that way you don't have to deal with
reality,
blind spots, you know, the unknown, you know, the simple thing that we know less than what we know.
Right.
I mean, I really am quite dumb.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because if I'm in that position, then that means that I've got something to learn.
Yeah.
And so I'm available in that way. So
that's
part of how I kind of lead my life. So I just, I mean, is being open to being dumb.
Yeah. I don't think
that's part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
I don't either. At all, actually. I think it's very endearing.
Yeah. I think the people that go around, they're like, oh, I'm the smartest, the end all be all.
Teach me. I always say, but then
I come to find out, I'm like, this guy's full of shit. He didn't know shit.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah.
What an asshole.
Yeah, it's quite possible. I mean, you know, there's, what, 300 million Americans, roughly, and there's, you know, almost 2 billion people in China, a billion people in India, you know.
Yeah.
We just represent such a small portion of
the
actual human beings in this world. And, you know, the ancient knowledge that exists in India and China is just such a really enriching thing that, I live my life with.
Oh, I agree.
You know, study, read books written by people from 2,000 years ago and so on. So
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you on that. And we'll get back to the whole subject, but I do want to say this one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize.
Let's hear it.
Is it's, you know, people like China, China this, China that. And I'm like, China's laughing at us. China's been around for years. They've got books of other cultures coming and going. They're making 500-year plans. We haven't even been around for 500 years.
No, yeah.
250, like, there's a whole other level of intelligence there, folks.
Yeah.
A whole other level. Like, we think we're so smart.
Superpower.
Superpower in your face. And it's like, we're going to lose it all. We're going to lose it all if we don't get our act together. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think staying open to that possibility is how you survive.
Yes.
Yeah, the more you try to hold on to something, it slips away.
Yeah. So we've got to realize that, you know, we're not that far out of the woods yet. You know, George Carlin used to always say that. We're not that far out of the woods yet, folks.
I love that. One of my favorite just performers ever.
Oh, way, way, way more intelligent than most people will know. Way before his time.
His dad was an advertising executive, is part of how he grew up.
Really?
Like, knowing these things about the marketing and, like, that's where his part of his fuel came from.
Right.
So.
All right, we got about 5 minutes left, and then we got to wrap it up, my friend. Wrap it up. So let's get some really important things here, you know, coming in. So let's talk briefly about. I know that you know the taps and whatnot are local. What other local things do you do? Like, I guess you could say, like, as far as collaborating with other businesses, is a question I always like to ask. Like, what other businesses are you, I guess you could say, collaborating with right now?
Yeah, I mean, collaboration, basically, the way I understand it, is where there's a central goal between two separate things.
Yes.
So part of that is that we donate to local nonprofits every month.
Yeah.
And we have artists have their work on our walls for purchase. We've sold some pieces, or they've sold some pieces. We don't, you know.
Right.
We're just a conduit, really, is part of what we try to do. We're a new business, so we're not trying to, you know, spend a whole lot of money on artistic approaches, but we do want to be a conduit. Yeah. So artist, local artist is a big collaborative people that we love to work with. Let's see. I mean, I don't even know what, how, you know, because.
Well, I know you said local artist. I guess I can just kind of go into the next thing. Oh, crap. There you go. I saw that you were talking about maybe doing some live music there.
Yes.
That something new? I guess new and exciting things that you were talking about coming up.
Yeah. So the collaboration is kind of like I said, like working with local artists, and part of that is musicians. And so definitely live music and kind of evolving the play aspect of the silos is something that we are wanting to do and will continue to do as long as we're around. And so live music in the different places is, you know, because you have Little India, we have the American Yard, we have the European Alley, we have the silos themselves. So we have a number of different, you know, stages essentially to put performances on.
Right.
So, you know, Fire Twirlers is another aspect.
Yes.
You know, just any kind of goofy artists that are out there swinging from this rafters and fabrics, you know, aerial.
Aerobatics. The weirder, the stranger, the better.
The weirder, the stranger, the better. Right. Yeah. Yes. So that's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else as far as collaboration? I'm trying to think, like, you know, the people who built the silos, we can go back there. Sure. They were all local businesses. You know, in one of the most interesting things, which I saw it coming, is the people who built that place were all these like kind of groups of three.
Interesting.
And sometimes the drywall group was probably the biggest one. Yeah. They were a little, you know, like 5 to 7 people. But yeah, the roof, the HVAC system was all put in by basically two people.
Wow.
And they would just show up every day and they would hang a little bit.
Yeah.
And they put it, there's 6 furnaces. There's, you know, 2 coolers. There's, you know, so we have 8 condensers and 8 evaporators.
Wow.
It's just such a very rudimentary system.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that, the reason I say that is because we were a big part of choosing these people, and they're all local businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That's awesome, because a lot of times people will contract out to whoever, like, I guess is the best price.
Yeah. And, the, you know, they did have a good price, of course, because we weren't, you know, contracting with a big company.
Right.
So, I mean, that was also by necessity too. We just really only had so much money.
Yeah.
So we really just had to find the shoe to fit the foot.
Right. Well, that's cool. That's pretty much bringing us close to our time here. So how do people, you know, get a hold of you? How do people, you know, come visit the silos? Like, what do they do? Do they just, you know, obviously they just show up, but like.
Yeah. I mean, of course, any questions, if you just Google the silos Dayton, you can call the phone number. It actually comes to me or Kathleen, my wife.
Yeah.
Kathleen is the event coordinator. She is doing a really good job of building the system of what it means to come there as a group or anyone who wants a reservation. You can email info@silosdayton.com. That also comes to me or Kathleen. Teresa Peretta is also very much involved in the operations development and how we are continuing to grow. So the phone number and the email, those two things come directly to me or Kathleen or Teresa.
Do you have a website? I know you said you guys
do.
Were talking about that.
Silosdayton.com.
Okay.
And our email is on the website as well. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything that you'd like to leave us with? You know, words of wisdom. I know that here, that's our question number 10 here. You know, we always try to leave on a positive note here on Dayton Approved.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I'm just grateful to be here with you, really.
Yeah.
When I walked in, I asked you how you were doing, and you said, I'm alive. And I knew when you said it, you meant it in a way that was very inspirational. And so, honestly, I just love that approach to life, is that if we can get up in the morning and put ourselves together in a way that really tunes our instrument, then we can be music in the world.
Yes.
Is really how I see it.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's
There's no one way anybody needs to be. If people tell you you should be a violin and violins are beautiful and you need to be a violin, but you're not that.
Yeah.
You know, be the bassoon.
Yeah.
Be the is a bassoon an actual instrument?
I don't know.
Did I just make that up?
I don't know. I feel like I've heard that before. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think I've heard it before. Yeah.
Yes,
but be it. Listen to that inner voice inside you and know that there is no right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's just beauty within. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about life. You know, we all have different journeys, and then when we can kind of come together and you know, when we tell these stories and we, you know, doing this, you can kind of really, really, it's cool because you can relate. You can relate, like, oh yeah, I've been there, or I've been at that step, or, you know, they've been at this step, or whatever it is, and it's really, really cool to see unfold.
And I would say, if anybody wants to email or call,
yes,
I would love to hear, what do people think deja vu is?
Yes.
What do you think is going on there?
Yeah.
I love to hear what people think about
their
that.
Their perspective, yeah, on it. Yeah.
So I'll leave with that question. What is deja vu?
What is deja vu?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to have to read the... I want to see the answers.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. As we collect it, there we go.
Yeah.
That'll be the next...
We'll do a follow-up.
We'll do a follow-up.
All right, Wes. Well, it was a pleasure having you on, and I hope you had a good time. I had a blast.
Frank, it was great, man. Yes.
Yes.
Loved it.
All right,
appreciate you.
Follow to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to sign up for our email list and receive an email to watch the show Wednesday at 8 a.m. Do you know a great Dayton business that you would like to see on the show? Visit our website at daytonapproved.com and click on the contact tab and tell us who you'd like to see.